December 20th, 2010, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
fucking bear is what we should be there.
From Pedro Show. Maybe you heard the voice of our faraway guest that I share this date with. I can't really say it's we got the same birthday because I'm a little bit less younger than she is. But
happy birthday.
So it's not the same birth date. It's our birthdays happened to be on the same day of the calendar year. They weren't...
Different years.
Different years, but same day. That's it, Brother Matt. Thank you so much. It's Miss Peek, all the way from Strasbourg, France, via Brother Matt's pewter.
Hello.
Hello. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe turn that mic a little bit.
You got a big partying process going on over there.
Yeah. Yeah, how are you celebrating your birthday? Now, you're 9 hours ahead. We're actually doing the Wild from Pedro Show a little early. It's a Monday at 11:12 a.m. Well, it's supposed to be 10:30, but we've taken a pounding with the rain here, and I couldn't get the telephone box got all flooded out. My internet's in and out, and I'm trying to get this song from the Wakine guys, the jam I did with those guys the week after the tour, but before
the wedding.
The wedding in Japan. But I came through, but that's why I'm a little late. So you're 9 hours ahead, so it's 8:13 p.m. for you?
That's right.
And how are you celebrating, what is it, your 21st birthday?
I don't tell.
What is it, 19th?
Yeah, right. Yeah, a long time ago. I guess I had this surprise birthday party thing, and
surprise birthday. It was a surprise because I got an email from you.
It was. I found
you told me a bunch of French people are coming, and you know I thought maybe she just somehow flew back to SoCal for a little bit. But then of course it would be a bunch of French people because you're still in France. And what kind of surprise was it if you knew they were coming to dinner? Oh, you just thought it was a dinner?
No, I didn't know anything about anybody coming over as of yesterday.
Oh.
And I didn't plan for anything, but...
Who's cooking? You?
I figured it out. There was a lot of little sneaky messages going on. I'm like, I think I know what's happening.
Oh, you figured it out.
Yeah.
Your detective peek. Are you cooking? Are you doing any of the cooking?
No, I did some laundry. That's
great. Are you going to be doing some of the eating?
I walked through snow mud to go to a laundromat.
I thought it was a fancy laundromat. Are you going to be doing some of the eating?
Some of the eating?
All of the eating?
Yes. I have the curious one here next to me.
Hey, curious one.
Ah. Yeah, Rainy. So you got a little dirty. Was it a fancy laundromat?
No, it's not. It doesn't have a card. You know that.
Oh, that's so you were being you were being ironic or satirical.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Yeah. card. But no, it's our washing machine is broken, so I have to trek out.
Wet clothes.
And the good thing is it stopped snowing. It was snowing a lot earlier this morning.
Yeah.
And also rained.
Yeah.
So we got mushy crap out there.
We call it slush. Although we don't get much snow here, like none.
You don't eat it.
But it has been raining like crazy, and it's not supposed to stop till Thursday. Well, we got it up in the mountains. In fact, the snow level is pretty low because of all this storm. Did you hear? Why? Have you been talking to Southern California people?
Yesterday, and I heard about it from you.
From me?
Oh, and I also looked up the news because total lunar eclipse tonight. And it's most visible in Western Hemisphere of North America.
Yeah, but
not here.
But we're not going to be able to see it with these fucking clouds, Miss P.
Exactly, and won't be able to see it because of the rainstorm. That sucks because it's the first one in like almost 500 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a meteor shower this week too. Couldn't see that.
Right. But I felt it. They kept hitting me in the head.
Yeah.
I had to drive Saturday. I had a gig, kind of a, well, it was to celebrate Dean Dean, the Prancer Machine's birthday. Mm-hmm. And had to go through much. It was a heavy ride.
Sierra Madre. Yeah.
Bob Steyer's territory. Look, I should say what we played. We started off the show with Mr. Day by John Coltrane. Then Birthday Boy by The Residents. You don't know about The Residents. That's unfortunate. They go way back in the kind of a DIY music scene.
Ralph Records. For the fact that I don't know a lot of things.
Yeah. San Francisco.
Big Eyeball.
Yeah. They went on to do things like kind of operas and plays, and they did one on Bible stories, one tour I saw. Yeah, they're really, the only guy who kind of came out with his own name was Snakefinger. He was playing guitar for them. In fact, Steve McCabe toured with him. He died of a heart attack.
Somebody stole the eyeballs at one of the
Somebody lives. Stole the eyeballs at one of the gigs, yeah. Who would do such a shit?
Sad.
Anyway, that's Birthday Boy from the Duck Stab. I remember getting that record at Zed's when it came out. It was like, man, who are these guys? And it was such strange music, really weird. Then they had an album called Third Reich and Roll, and they had all these little tunes that were really trippy.
It's kind of cool getting excited about albums and stuff. It doesn't really happen as much anymore.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Miss P? Do you get excited about music like you used to in the old days?
I never did.
Not even for Rush?
I'm very cool about music.
What about Rush?
I have Emma here.
Emma.
What about Rush? Did you ever get excited for Rush?
Yeah, but, you know, it was a mistake as far as, you know, not the band, but the fact that I think, yeah, that's because I feel like in the 70s, it was probably the most, the heightened time of like idealizing everything. And music was very much of that, you know, there was a lot of epic albums that was made in such a grandeur of like, like big stories, big sound, big concerts, you know. But now I think, for better or worse, you know, there's a lot of bands out there, a lot of independent music, and people are having their own little set selections. It's not a band anymore, it's a genre, you know, and it's also coincide with just identity in general. You know, if you like independent bands, you're this kind of hipsters, and you like this kind of weird music, you're another type, and each type consists of probably 10, 20 bands, and that's why a lot of music festivals are doing better now, I think. So it's not a bad thing that no one band monopolizes on like Pink Floyd did.
Oh, so it was the way the bands were perceived. There was fewer bands to pick from, so they had bigger pieces of the pie.
Yeah.
Now everybody can play.
Music more, I think, you know, it's more common that kids know people in the band. Like your story, you know, you play in a band with your niche group of friends, but now it's like, oh, you know, every five kids, one out of five kids probably play in a band or something.
What about the way that the way music gets to people? That changed.
Yeah,
that's kind of what Brother Matt was talking about. The actual way
record stores.
Yeah.
Trip.
Yeah, record store used to be where people hang out and that, you know, and find things and the source of a lot of things. And now it's internet, so it's kind of
different.
The beehive has been hit.
Is it the same kind of hanging out, like a record store versus the internet?
Yeah, in forums. I don't know.
Chat room?
Well, you got that part of the lifestyle, and then you got the, you know, kids going for music festival, like I said.
Yeah, but that's kind of a live thing. You're talking about gigs, right?
Yeah, well, it's both sides of socialization.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, you know, probably, out of anything, I would think that you, Watt, would appreciate that the most.
You know what?
Would you start your own band business?
You know what? I think maybe we asked you too hard of a question.
Oh, maybe I didn't hear it.
We should get back to birthdays. Do you think birthdays are important?
Well, if you believe in Gregorian calendar, you know.
Are you against them?
I'm not, because you have to instill some kind of system where everybody can adapt to.
The birthday system?
No, it's the calendar system.
Oh, the calendar system.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, you know, I can be bummed out about it, or I can be happy, or whatever. I don't know. I'm in a state of blank right now about it.
Do you dig, are people treating you special?
Huh?
Are people
well, out of anything, it's kind of refreshing to not hear happy birthday here.
Are people treating you special?
Yeah, too much.
Do you like that?
No.
So they don't have like a little happy birthday French version song?
Yeah, it was the French version, so it's a little bit stranger to my ear, so it's okay.
So you're not happy about them treating you special?
I don't like to be noticed that I'm, like, in the room.
But just ignore that for a minute and ask all those people to sing happy birthday to you in French so we can dig on it.
Yeah, let's not do
that. Hey, people, will you sing to her? Sing happy birthday in French now. Yeah, right now.
That's a mistake. Yeah. They could do it for the show. Huh?
What's he eating? What's he eating back there? Looks good.
Little appetizer thing, you know. In France, you got
the Vietnamese sausage.
Vietnamese sausage.
Cool.
Mozambique peanuts.
Cacahuates.
Pork skin.
Like chicharrones.
Thai and Japanese and Vietnamese and French.
A multicultural feast.
And you got apparatus here.
What do we have?
And you got
poopoos.
Oh.
Entree.
Yeah.
And then the actual meal. And you got dessert. So it's kind of common to have four.
Emma, sing happy birthday in French.
His brother Matt really wants to hear this. Get her to sing, Misty.
But no.
Get the baby to sing.
I think there's a newborn here too, maybe. Yeah. So how's your day going over there?
Well, look, if you're not going to sing for us, I'm going to play some more birthday songs. Okay? Hold on.
Yeah. Heaven shaped guitar. Here we go, pulse the drum beat. Gracefully, I'm swaying, they're all swaying. Moonlight, 11 shades of dark, taking it all the way to the end.
Red wave, nothing but question now. Wait, get up and get down. You wanna rock it? You wanna rock it? Red wave, nothing but candle glow. Wait, wait, look like the ocean flow. You wanna rock it? You wanna rock it? You wanna rock it?
Some birthday music there. First up was Birthday Boy, another Birthday Boy. By Wild Billy Childish and the Musicians of the British Empire. Is that a name for a band?
Very regal.
And then we heard Boo Boo's Birthday, Take Two, by Thelonious Monk. Whoa. A lot of noise happening from the Strasbourg, France party with Miss Pete. And finally, we heard Rocket Live by Many Birthdays. So there is a little birthday set for you and myself, Miss Pete. Yeah, so what was, do you see like a birthday is kind of like a way of... beginning and starting a segment of your life?
No, that's New Year.
Oh, it's more New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know, it seems less significant over the years, you know. Maybe that's the old and jaded stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I only... remember of what I don't like, you know, the party shenanigans or party hats or some drunkenness.
What about when you were little? Was there parties where a lot of your little young friends were around?
No.
You never had those?
Not me. Maybe that has something to do with my cynicism.
7-8 years old or something like this.
Well, at least, well, I don't remember personally. I mean, other than that, there's no picture records of it, so if that doesn't exist, so I never had it.
Are birthdays a big deal in Thailand?
Sometimes, but not as much as here. It seems the commercialization plays a lot more part here, where, you know, people come over with birthday gifts, and every TV show has the big kid birthday parties, and it seems very excessive.
Wow.
But, you know, then again, I grew up in a different time, in a different country, so it's a... and it's also, you know, my small town is not about that, so... But yeah, there are some... I remember my cousin had birthday parties where kids come over and stuff. But with little presents, but it's all, I don't know. It's all small gesture. But it's not the parents bringing gifts, it's just other kids bringing gifts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
do you know about pinatas?
Yeah, I do.
You know about the game at the birthday parties with the stick? And you these paper mache figurines full of candies and stuff.
And yeah, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
And but the, what's not okay is the amount of candies. Just like, you know, the Halloween. I don't think that's okay. You go around and collect a bucket of candies and you eat until you puke.
Eat until you're sick.
Because you just can't not do that, you know, you just can't. You
right.
As a kid, you have crap loads of candies, and you just create all kinds of, like, disorder in the house with that much candy.
Yeah, it probably helps with the diabetes coming on pretty heavy, too.
Yeah.
Later years, prepping the body of insulin.
Yeah, that's the picture that people are consuming a lot more sugar each year.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
What do you think about it, being a, when not moving away from the little kid land that I know you really dread
unhappy
leaving
land.
Behind? But let's go into adult, more adult perspective of birthdays and the idea of a birthday meaning, God damn, I can't believe I made it.
Oh, that's you.
Is that valid?
I think that's you.
Well, in a way, it really is me, especially this year, because my pop passed away in 52. So, I outlived my pop by making it to 53. So, because this is what, I was told this when I was younger, that you should think of birthdays as like kind of medal of honors that you didn't get killed yet. And I never used to think of that as a little kid. A little kid, I want to be honest with you. I thought it was kind of a present day. That was, and since it was 5 days by Christmas, with my case, or our case, you and mine, I thought, whoa, the two present days are close. Then I got into 20s, and it's, you know, actually didn't tell people my birthday. Not until maybe my 40s.
Oh.
My early 40s, I started telling people actually even when my birthday was. I kind of was hiding it. Because I didn't want to be reminded of getting old. And then it was Carla Bozulich. Because hers is Christmas Eve.
Mm.
And since it was so close, she had me come up to her pad up in wherever it was, Silver Lake. And be part of this child, this party. She had all her buddies around. And it was the first time I had been to a birthday party since I was, you know, with me involved since I was a kid. And then, and she was the one who was kind of said, yeah, you should be kind of glad on this day because it's a way of being grateful for making it that far. And that was a whole.
Honestly, I think about that every other day. Like, I mean, I don't want to point out that, you know, anything, but you know, I see death picture news and everything is always reminding me of that. So birthday not necessarily a milestone for me in that matter. So it's almost like feels more like other people are gonna be concerned about what I would think about my birthday on my birthday.
Well, maybe they're glad you're here.
They're like, oh, we so appreciate you were born.
Yeah, that you're in their life, huh?
Okay.
Like, and you feel that is a big weight on you?
Yes.
Okay.
As the responsibility. People's emotions.
So these people are like weighing you down.
All this added responsibility.
Yeah, like you were put on the planet to entertain. Huh?
No. Well,
wow,
not
what are these?
But I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Clothes.
It's like, oh, they chose to care, and now I have to care back.
Oh, so if they wouldn't care, you wouldn't have to care back. But now, yes, that is very extreme weight that they put on you.
Yeah, what a burden.
Yeah, almost like slave masters.
I don't know how you go on.
Yeah, I don't know how you... That's what a strong woman you are, Mr.
Yeah.
So, I admire you. Anyway, let's play some more music.
grave. The aftermath hits you in the gut. No light, no corners to cut. In the meantime, we wait. All in time, always too late. The afterglow, we dance. With a hope, but not a chance. In the meantime, in the meantime, in the meantime, we try, we do our best. Not to die, all in vain, before the fall, before the pain.
How should you ever know?
Juan from Pedro Show. That was Love Song by Good Old Europe. It's a name for a band. Good Old Europe. You know, finally somebody.
Feel good.
And then In the Meantime by Concerned Old Men. Actually, I think they're from... I think Good Old Europe is German, and I think Concerned Old Men are Swedish. And then Birthday Swim by Wakine. Actually, I'm on that song, too. And I call it Birthday Swim because I'm playing it today. And they just called it Mike Wakine, and I thought that was kind of a lame title. So...
So it's almost polar bear time, speaking of birthday swims.
Oh, yeah. Right. You're not here to do that, Miss Pete. You're going to have to do a parallel one.
Oh, yeah.
It's in 10 days.
Yeah,
come on, we can do it. 11 days.
I wanted to do that.
And we started off that music with the Bust Out Brigade by Go Team. I was told that this was named after an idea I had. So that was very kind.
Cool.
Yeah, you could jump in the water at the same time as I did on New Year's Day.
No, thank you.
I wonder how I'm going to do it, Brother Matt. Should I wear the brace? Fuck.
Probably.
Because we have the wave knocked.
Yeah, that's, I hyperextended my knee in a wave
did
before,
you?
And it's still, that was like 20-something years ago, and I still feel
you
that
still
sucker.
Feel it?
Yeah.
Hmm. The brace get wet?
Better than fuck.
Better than popping the knee. You know, I've been riding a bike. Well, Thursday was when I had to stop because of this rain. But it's getting stronger. However, yesterday, I was just walking in the pad, and I crumpled. Right forward, right under the... No serious hurt or anything, but I just crumpled.
Yeah, I think going with the brace would be necessary because you just never know what.
Yeah.
It doesn't take anything to crumple.
We're at the end of the first hour of December 20, 2010, Watt from Pedro Show, a birthday edition for me and our guest from Strasbourg, France, Ms. Peak. Hang tight for hour two. Okay, December 20th, 2010, second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
أبي الهجة عزيز أبي الهجة عزيز فكر إنك لعبة لا تروع يا شاطي بنات الناس ما يسلعبة على ورق
I'm what he plays. He loves in every day. It's your sense when you love it then. When you feel bad, but you never rest in your head.
In the chocolate bed, on a grizzly bed, living home again.
Thank you.
Why, for Pedro show, start off the second hour with Mawal. It's from Hughes de Cusson. Hughes de Cusson is a French composer, musician, who goes to different parts of the world and, I guess it's the real meaning of world music, where you try and find the common threads, and he'll juxtapose different things, Middle East music with European classical, or like he's having Ravel's Bolero in Southeast Asia. Malaysia is going to bring it there, and that part of the world to have those kind of ethnic musicians try this European composition and stuff like that. Very interesting. Then we heard Fuck You Pretentious Noise Artist by the Adjective Noun, and then In Your Head by Outro Inside from Russia. And then You by Agui. Speaking of which, a very, very interesting thing you said, Miss Peak, while we were playing the music there. You were talking about doing some fighting over there in Strasbourg, and how similar you saw the styles, even though they were using different language, to talk about it. And they're very interested in seeing you fight. But you kind of let them down, or...
No, I let me down.
you let you down.
Yeah, but that's...
You weren't really prepared.
No, I'm never prepared. You know, that's just my life. And the thing is, I just jumped in. I'm like, you know, I'm a certain belt level. I go in and people are like, oh, so show us what you got. But that's what I think in my head. So it's like, oh, I'm not going to show you what I got because I'm going to... make sure that I don't look stupid, so I will do less. And so when I spar with some guy, they put me up for it, and I just, you know, they were like, come on, why don't you go for it? I'm like, man.
Oh, you were a little reserved.
Yeah, I didn't want to go crazy, especially with...
No hair pulling and bitch slapping and shit.
Be the out-of-towner, come in and kick everyone's ass.
No headgear, no health insurance, that's kind of a okay. thing.
So, but this led to you talking about this thing about now you're in Strasbourg. Last time we talked to you, you were in Bangkok. Time before that, you were actually here in the Love Grotto in San Pedro. And so the three parts of the world, and you're on this mission to find new set of friends, new fighting friends, new music friends, new dancing friends.
It's not a mission specifically because, you know, before going off to some place, moving or whatnot, you're just like, oh, go see a new place, you go see a new experience, but then I feel like I'm not unique in this manner. That you, once you settle down, you want to start surrounding yourself with something you're familiar with. So, like in my case, I come to a country, I don't speak any of their language. I just go try to find Krav Maga, which I used to do. So, and there is one here, a big one with a Muay Thai connection and the fight club kind of. So I jumped in, and the last 3 days I've been acquainting with a new group of fighters and, you know, fight enthusiasts, and I felt like, you know, I just makes me wonder of human condition, whether, you know, they just keep perpetuating self manifesting themselves by finding similar friends in different cultures or different settings everywhere they go, you know. So and it's just I just hate to think that I'm a creature of habit, you know. I'm trying to also learn about French food and cooking and all that new stuff, but at the same time there has to be a level of comfort you know that keep you like, I don't know, familiar with something. I think it's also the same when people are uprooted and go to a different country and they keep forming a community like Thai Town or, you know, Chinatown, and they kind of keep being in the same sort of just a miniature of something they used to have.
Yeah,
so
a little thermos bottle.
I'm doing that here by myself.
What, photography people, music people, couchsurfing.com people.
Yep, exactly.
But what about the other pressures? Assimilate.
I'm sorry?
The other kind of pressure, like to assimilate.
I think that's individual based because it depends on how much you're scared. If your survival is depending on it, I'm sure you would do a lot more to try to assimilate, you know, if it's a do or die. But if you don't, I think people have a habit, I think, to avoid having to do the hard work. Maybe that's just me.
No, I see what you mean. But what do you think about the hosts? Do you think they pressure the new guests or the new...
But they would want to because, you know, they love people who live in a place. They have a specific expectation and manners and customs. Like right now, people are like waiting to eat because they don't know what the hell I'm doing. They would think that this is a weird non-French behavior. So
rapping on the Skype to some clowns in Pedro.
To conform.
Okay. Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Like astronomy is kind of serious, you know. I heard that it's got listed in the UNICEF or something for World Heritage on their French cuisine is. But I'm just saying as an example. But no, I can see from both sides now because like I lived in the U.S. for long enough to feel local and feel that, you know, if people don't understand how local things work, then they should learn because, you know, that's just the way you keep peace, kind of, you know, you keep the society going by sort of understanding of what the norms are somehow. But I also feel like in France, for some reason, it's very common to have outsiders. I don't know, it feels like much more than the U.S. for some reason. And they have a lot of, you know, Africans and different kinds of people becoming French in a matter of a generation. So the assimilation is actually quite, I don't know if sufficient is the word, but it's more of it happens all the time. You know, people having to just adapt into French system.
So you're putting yourself in these different places. Is it important for Miss Peak to stay Miss Peak?
I know, but that's like, I freaked out. Like, let's say if you called me a month ago, I would just be like on edge all the time because I feel like my identity as I knew it was threatened. You know, like I talk the way I talk. I have the way I, you know, like, inject some sense of humor if I had any at a certain moment. And then I got here and I no longer am funny or understood or, you know, I lost my grooves. So I felt completely on edge all the time for like a month. And like I hated everything. And then it started snowing and like, fuck.
You think in the long run, maybe it's good for you.
Oh, yeah, I always knew that.
Where do you see yourself next birthday?
What's that?
Where do you see yourself next birthday?
Oh, next birthday, probably Thailand. Because I'm going to try to, like, do, like, hopping around. But I don't know, it might be here. I don't know. But I guess... I guess the weird thing is like, I'm sorry, go back to the thought that even though I was agitated and annoyed about the difficulties of understanding or adapting or get it, whatever it is, it feels like it's a very, I think that comes down to personality. If you can, I always felt that it's really good for me to challenge my stupid stubbornness that I have, like, you know, probably don't know this, but I have a lot of beliefs that certain things are right. And I would sometimes like kind of fought for it, even the way things are supposed to work, you know, like societies or culture. And now when I got here, everything is challenged. And I get to
reinvent question. Yourself.
Well, that comes later, but I get to question my beliefs and whether or not that was a geographical specifics, you know. It's not a convention, like it's not a human, like it doesn't cover every, like the world, you know. Like, it's very like ideals and desire and what people are going for is not the same from country to country, area to area. And so I get fascinated for that, and I would love to learn French more because, you know, everything, a lot of senses you can get from the way people talk about the kind of things people talk about, you know, and I like to know about it or hear it, you know.
Yeah. More sensitivity.
Yeah.
Matt, turn the machine this way. You see what I'm wearing now?
Pajamas? I don't know.
Can, as far as I can get it.
Oh, that's as much as you can turn it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he's got a...
I got some attachments.
He's got a weird attachment. Not a weird one, but...
I see that.
Actually, help. It's a television.
There we go. Oh, we lost her. There you are.
Can you see?
Not yet. It's frozen.
We lost her.
Skype unexpectedly quit. We're coming back.
Those things happen. Anyway, Miss Peek's on her big journey, living in different places and different places, teaching Miss Peek more about herself. And she's very interested in this adventure, it seems to me, Brother Matt.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah,
she is unstoppable in her travels.
Yeah, right. Most people would maybe be afraid, but she is the hero. Are you about ready for your spin cycle?
Sure.
I come from San Pedro.
You have no badges. We don't need no badges. We don't need no stinking badges.
Hello. So, that was like an introduction. Now for some preaching to the choir on the subject of how come it is that the further in you go, the bigger it gets. I remember the very, very first time I smoked DMT. It was sort of a benchmark, you might say. And I remember that this friend of mine, who always got there first, visited me with this little glass pipe and this stuff which looked like orange mothballs. And since I was a graduate of Dr. Hoffman's, I figured there were no surprises. So the only question I asked was, how long does it last? And he said, about 5 minutes. So I did it. And thank you. there was something like a flower, like a chrysanthemum in orange and yellow that was sort of spinning. And then it was like I was pushed from behind and I fell through the chrysanthemum into another place that didn't seem like a state of mind. It seemed like another place. And what was going on in this place, aside from the tastefully soffitted indirect lighting and the crawling geometric hallucinations along the domed walls, what was happening was that there were a lot of beings in there. A lot of what I call self-transforming machine elves, sort of like jeweled basketballs, all dribbling their way toward me. And if they'd had faces, they'd have been grinning, but they didn't have faces. And they assured me that they loved me, and they told me not to be amazed, not to give way to astonishment. And so I watched them, even though I wondered if maybe I hadn't really done it this time. And what they were doing was they were making objects come into existence by singing them into existence. Objects which looked like Fabergé eggs from Mars morphing themselves with Mandaean alphabetical structures. They looked like the concrescence of linguistic intentionality put through a kind of hyperdimensional transform into three-dimensional space. And these little machines offered themselves to me, and I realized when I looked at them that if I could bring just one of these little trinkets back, nothing would ever be quite the same again. And I wondered, where am I? And what is going on? And it occurred to me that these must be holographic viral projections from an autonomous continuum that was somehow intersecting my own. And then I thought, a more elegant explanation would be to take it at face value and realize that I had broken into an ecology of souls, and that somehow I was getting a peep over the other side. Somehow I was finding out that thing that you cheerfully assume you can't find out. But it felt like I was finding out. And it felt, and then I can't remember what it felt like, because the little self-transforming types interrupted me and said, Don't think about it. Don't think about who we are. Think about doing what we're doing. Do it. Do it now. Do it! And
I was born botanical, the soul of an animal. Deep beneath the layers, I sink my roots. No need for mechanical, I come strictly organical. When I need the feast, I look to the east. That's why I'm never scared of the beast. Even though they try to prey upon me, I'm protected by the one always greater than me. So now I revere to thee, because you wanna see the contour of my mystery, the strength of my arches, color of my conscience, and the way that I process my addiction. Some facts, some fiction, some mystery and some future fantasy. I'm the trunk that holds the branches, the leaves that do the dances. My flowers romantic, my love gigantic.
My emotions are always there for you.
I'll never leave you dry. Bless, bless, bless. My emotion.
Into his groove and get stroking that hard for that long of a distance. will provide us with a new momentum for investment, cooperation, dialogue, but also action aimed at bringing our countries back to the roles of economic growth and the overall development of our countries, societies and our countries. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Let's do this.
Birthday boy.
Thank you very much, brother man.
Cool.
So, we lost her speak.
Yeah.
But
it was cool though talking to her.
It was very much her Strasbourg, France adventure report.
A little international.
On her B-Day. And wishing her the best. And anyway, we gave her a break so she could do that chat with him.
Yeah, her party was way.
Drink all the wine. what was going through your head on this edition spin cycle?
Well, start off with like a little spoken wordness, I think. Kind of getting some birthday wisdom in there with some DMT penile gland activation for evolving to the next level. And some big fat bass for the bass king. Okay. So, something along those lines.
Yeah, very interesting. I dug it very much. In the middle of your cyclage, we are joined here at the Love Grotto with the guest.
Yeah, Lori.
Speak left, I mean, in person. Yeah.
Lori Steelwick, welcome.
Hey, how's, happy birthday, Wyatt. Woohoo!
Welcome aboard. Thank you.
That was a bitchin' painting there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I got a present from her. It's a hypnotizer called the Guy Beans from Venus, which is a kind of a tribute, maybe?
Mm-hmm. To Captain Beefheart.
Yeah, who passed away Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a huge blow for me. I mean, he was 69 years old. He's had MS for a while. I actually found the gig. I went and saw him in 1980 at the Whiskey. And I had just had knee surgery. I was in a cast. And I found the gig. He was touring the dock at the radar station. I really don't know what the Minutemen would have been like without somebody like Camp Beefheart. I wonder if there would have even been a Minuteman without Camp Beefheart. Him, his music, very influential on us. Shortly after that gig, I think in 82, he stopped doing music. And he had started painting in the 70s, and he pursued that more and more.
His paintings are really fantastic. Have you checked them out on that website, the gallery website that he has?
Radar Station, Dock at the Radar Station, that's he painted the cover.
Yeah.
I guess it's supposed to be some Chinese opera.
Mm.
And then I think he did the cover of Shiny Beast.
He's been showing a lot.
Well, that's what he ended up doing.
Yeah.
He also
does sculpture, too.
In fact, I've never seen his sculptures. Wow. But somebody was telling me a few years ago he was painting with the brushes taped to his hands.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, you have to.
Because the MS was really bad. But anyway, he was just a very positive force in my music thing. I remember when punk came and were talking about how, like, he was doing punk, like Stooges, they were doing punk in the 60s, and people just didn't call it punk, but they were the big daddies, they were granddaddies of the movement.
You said you talked to him on the phone once when Christine McKenna's radio show.
Yeah, I never met him in person, but there was a... He was being interviewed by Christine McKenna on radio station. And they had people call up. So I called up. And I got to talk to him.
What'd you say to him?
I asked him about... There's an album he did called Strictly Personal. And you open it up, and they're him and the Magic Band are wearing these fucking trippy hats or whatever kind of stuff, and it was pretty scary. And so I asked him, what was that about? You know, that used to scare me. And like, it's one of my favorite albums by him. And he said, well, it was just shit laying around and we decided to put on or something like it wasn't that deep, you know, even though I had like stared at it. Remember in the old days when you got records and you just try to figure out the shit?
Did look, you say it scared you? Look.
Yeah, it is scary. If you, I don't know if you're familiar with
it.
Yeah. It's pretty scary, man. And anyway, it was kind of funny. I felt kind of silly for asking him that because, of course, it wasn't such a big deal. But it was for me. It was like something I had said to myself, man, if I ever get to meet this guy, I want to ask him about the inside of that record cover. But then as I was asking, I was thinking, man, this is one of the most stupid fucking things I could be asking him about. So, you know, but I did have a chance to talk to him, and he seemed very nice. So, and I got to thank him for making great music for me. For our listeners, kid goers, so I'm glad I got to do that.
They played a little bit of a song on NPR today, which is nice. Not too much.
Oh, that's one of them rival shows to ours, isn't it, Brother Matt? You know, the LPF bill got passed this weekend. Nobody's talking about it.
That's right.
LPFM.
A little power action.
Yeah, remember I've been behind that for years.
Yeah.
More getting a little local station.
Yeah, community passed. Action.
I wonder what's going to come out of that.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah. The big broadcast, everybody's been against it for so long.
Community
and so much
radio.
Fighting.
Yeah, shut out the voices.
The FCC commission. The Congress went and did this. We're at the end of the second hour, December 20, 2010. Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. December 20th, 2010. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Hey, Sam. How's it going?
Hey,
we got Brother Sam.
How you doing?
Good.
On Skype now. And we got another... what can you say? Brother Matt, we have another guest. We have another guest via the internet. This is... Sam Duke in Brighton, England right now. Here, Brother Matt in hip to Skype. So I'll do that.
Here we go.
Because Brother Sam wants to see Brother Matt on the little video thing.
Hello, Sam.
The problem, Brother Sam, is he's got a window right behind him, so it's like witness protection program.
Kind of thing.
And I'm over here. I'm working the fucking... radio show here using my little computer. So we have actually you're living too, but we actually have somebody with us as a guest too, Laurie.
Hi. Well, you can't
and,
see me.
And I was explaining to her, your reason for being on the planet. You know, I'm just telling her about Cuz and how you're in the studio right now mixing Cuz.
Yeah, Joe's here. Can you see Joe?
I see Joe. He's just on your port side. If you want him to see you, you have to put your face in that dot.
Do I need him to see me? Yes.
Here, I'll say it again. If you want him to see you,
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Laurie gave me this painting here for my birthday, because it's my birthday. Can you get his volume up there?
Yeah, see, this is full.
No, there's a slide bar at the bottom. See this painting?
What is that? It looks trippy. It looks like an eye.
Yeah, well, it's Green Eye Beans from Venus, after a Cat Beefheart song. She was inspired. She's starting a whole series of trippy paintings. Yeah, bean paintings. I mean, she's done trippy paintings before. So,
okay.
We usually start off the third hour with songs, but I'll play some Captain Beefheart. We played a... She's talking about, as we were listening to Spin Sec, about how Captain Beefheart wasn't that Mersh, but actually there was some record company people who thought he was kind of like Bob Seger, even had him tour with him and shit. And I played a song, Tropical, we'll listen to it in a little bit, Tropical Hot Dog Night, that I heard as a teenager. It was even on the Mersh FM stations. So, I don't know. Do you have any connection with Captain Beefheart?
Is that a question to me or to the general panel?
No, the panel. We got one guest. It's just me and Brother Matt and the guest, Laurie.
Okay. So yeah, man.
I guess Joe's part of the panel, too. Now, I'm asking you for the listeners.
Ice Cream for the Crow and Troutmaster Replica. I don't know.
Ice Cream for Crow was his last one. That's mainly poems. That's when he quit music. About 1982. Well, he wanted to get into painting or something. And anyway, music work at hand. You're doing cuz. Like I was saying, I was trying to justify your existence to Laurie by saying that you have this project with me.
I'll bear that in mind, but I'm trying to justify my...
I played Bust Out Brigade earlier, the new Go Team. Sam plays with a band called Go Team. And, what's it coming on now, 3 years? I came to England with some days off. I think it was July of 2007, right? Or was it 2008?
2008, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay, so it's not 3 years yet. It's only two and a half years. And not to put any pressure on you or anything, but 2.5 years ago, I had some days off in England with Stooges gig, so I took the train down to Brighton, and I played bass to him drumming. And for 3 days. And he took those things, them big jams, and he took out parts. Because in his band, his boss, Go Team, takes samples and makes it in their music. Uh-huh. So we decided to kind of do that, but we would be our own samples. So Sam went and took all them jams and found parts that...
Still finding them, Mark?
Yeah, and still, of course, it was 3 days. Although there was one point where I did... fucking lame out and couldn't think of anything more. But we got a lot of shit. And then, a lot of chafe, you know, or whatever. Stuff, I guess chafe would be after the fact. A lot of stuff looked through to find that what do you call it? Gristle? What do you call it?
Get the
mill? No, it's before. It's
ingredients?
No, it's the first batch. When you take something...
Sort the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what's that shit called before you wheat and chaff it? You know, it's just the harvest. Okay, we got a big raw harvest. And there's a lot of stuff that he could call from. And he has. And that became the hearts of a lot of these songs for this first album that we are dangerously close to finishing.
Fishing.
Very dangerously close. No, we don't get done when it gets done. A lot of the work's been Brother Sam here. I mean, he had to go and listen through all that stuff and come up with parts and then use his musical part of his mind to make songs out of these things. Then he had me sometimes add a spiel or bass, and then he plays everything. People in Go Team. To be in Go Team, I think you have to play everything because they always switch around a lot. So he could add all kinds of stuff. And we had some buddies to add stuff on. And now he's putting it together for the final form. Actually, it was about 90% him, maybe 10% me. It was kind of 50-50 when we were jamming in those 3 days. in July 2008. But after that, he's had to do so much of the work. And now he's mixing it. And then, you know, I make it even harder by having these retarded opinions about bass being too little. Actually, I'll be very happy any way that he does it, because he's a great cat and I'm very honored and proud. But a lot of this stuff, well, yeah, probably 99%. I would have never, it would have been just jam stuff into the air, right? Mm-hmm. He made these things into actual things that I can be very proud to be part of. Posterity.
Posterity.
So anyway, I've talked enough about it. What's your take on it, Brother Sam?
First off, Mike, can you point the computer screen down a bit? I'm looking at the ceiling, which
it's
is
a bad angle. No, just do the screen, Brother Matt. You only have to do the computer. Yeah.
Hey, that's it. There
because
you go.
He ain't looking at the screen, so I'm in the witness protection program mode too. Where you just see a silhouette. It's because, we have windows behind us.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. It's going well, it's Mike. We're doing all the, you know, finickety, is that a word? Finickety stuff in the studio with all the frequencies, and it's. I'm learning a lot, actually, about mixing. Joe's being really kind with his time, you know. And it's really fun doing this last bit. Pulling the mixes up and really focusing on getting the best sound from them.
Right, because a lot of it he was doing right in his pad. So there's a studio called Brighton Electric. It's also a practice pad. This is actually one of the rooms is where we did the jams.
I'm in that room now, actually. It's not the room that we did the first jam, but remember when we did the second jam? Does this ring a bell?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we've done a second album's worth. Well, shit, there's probably a second album's worth in that first batch of shit. But we did another, this was last year, we did another 2 days of jamming. And, but it wasn't just me, Brother Sam, two of his buddies, Vinny and Danny, came out. And also, Shige.
Yeah, Shige, you saw Shige.
He came and we did, he was at the gig. He was at the Minehead gig. But he came up, he was practicing with some dudes, just came over and we did some, he played synthesizer for some exploration jam for 20 minutes. I swear we should use that piece all in itself and add shit to it when time comes. I mean, we got to finish this first one off. We got a little ahead of ourselves because we still wasn't even done with
here
this.
Here it is, Mike. Look, we're on this is the desk. We've got it all loaded
up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But so. I had some time off and again, you know, the fuck? I go and
cool way to do
jam
it.
With them. And there, in fact, it was last summer, and I took the train from jamming with him to the Altamara's party in Minehead that Stooges did. It was a different train line, more expensive. Okay. The first Great Western was that one. This one that you set me on was a little, took a little longer, but it was like way more econo.
Yeah.
16
all
pounds.
Around the houses a bit, but yeah.
Another one was 41 pounds. Actually, 16 pound is what it costs to go from fucking Heathrow to Paddington. You have to kind of backtrack. I got to go into London because Minehead stuff's west of London. Actually, I had to go into town and come back. Yeah, they don't put a little linker.
Long road.
There's no little linker going to that. The rail line must go right by. Well, whatever. It's all right. We made it. We did it. Actually, it was the first time I got to play the opera.
How's that going? How's playing the new album going, Mike?
Well, that was the last time I did it. The next time I do it, it's going to be 51 times in 52 days in this U.S. tour. March 10th, April 30th. But look, I'm Bogarting the spiel on the Cuz thing. I want you to talk about it there.
Well,
because I can talk all the fucking time. I live here. But we got you on on the Skype here.
Joe's working on a bass drum right now.
Which tune?
You see that? Slipstream.
Yeah, this has got this one has a. Okay, he sent me this, you know, bass and drum thing, right? And so I wrote these words, these verses, and then I came up with a chorus that was, I guess, too perverted. It got scissored.
What was it?
The song's about this guy who thinks water's really soft. Mm-hmm. It is soft, right?
It can be.
But not jumping out of airplane at 10,000 feet. It's like rock, and it'll kill you. But see, he's such a delusional asshole, he tries to do this, to jump in the water from this high up. So, because he gave it a name, Slipstream, so I was thinking about being in the air, you know, in an airplane and jumping in the water. And have you ever got notions before, and then you put the reality test to them, and they're really fucked up? Like, I mean, once over here in Navy housing when I was a boy, we made lighter parachutes out of handkerchiefs with lighters. You ever do this shit? You tie four corners on, you throw them up. We thought, wow, look, this works for lighters. You know, and dudes do it. So we can do this with sheets.
I've tried that. Off a trampoline.
We get these fucking sheets and tie, you know, clothesline to the corners and jumped out of these big trees and fucking
DIY parachute.
Yeah, it's like parachuting. They fucking didn't even open up, you know. And we had them, actually, we had them in boxes on our bag that held 6 half-gallons. And they didn't even get out of the boxes. We thought you could just yank it out and just plop up. I remember laying at the bottom of this tree trunks, you know. One guy really hurt his ankle bad. But talk about stupid. We thought the problem was we were too low. So we climbed higher in the tree, and we thought it was like, maybe we shouldn't put them in the box and just have them out there, you know. But we still went and dropped like rocks. And I was really, and it was much higher up. And so I was lucky. The tree branches, as I was getting scared as we were plummeting down. And so I stuck my arms out and hit branches. And it kind of broke my fall a little bit. But I fucked up my ankle. We all got fucked up ankles after that one. I remember us laying there crying. And so after that one, we didn't try it again.
But you didn't light them on fire.
Light on fire.
Your sheets.
No.
You're talking about lighting Kleenex on fire. That's
no, they were lighters. In the old days, lighters used to be metal, heavy things. Okay? And you would take this up with string on a handkerchief, and you'd throw them up. You needed some kind of weight, or they just flop around. And lighters were big, heavy Zippo things. They were big metal things.
Because that would take them up, like a higher balloon.
No, that was just a weight on the bottom of this handkerchief to make it deploy. We were way too heavy for the size of the sheet. It was ridiculous. It was retarded. But the point being, that's kind of the idea of this song. You can like visualize things that have nothing to do with reality. You just say, well, it might work. You know, like a Da Vinci drawing or something. You know, it might work, you know. You might be able to jump into the ocean from way up there, and it'll be like, you know, jumping into a swimming pool. But it's not from that high up. It's like a cement. So it kind of ends at that point. I never get past hitting the thing. And then I had but it's a dream of the water being wet and soft. So I called it a wet dream. And Sam thought it was like kind of pervert about being
a nocturnal
emission.
Yeah, nocturnal emission. But I was thinking out of the slipstream and into the wet dream. But I like it. I think even though it has that perv shit on it, that makes it better. But I was thinking of it like it was just incredulous of this guy to try something like this. But you know, that's what songs are for. You know, transcend the lame ass realities. But this is how we built the album, going back and forth with our jam ideas. And it's a very unusual song process for me. I've never really done them that way. And just then it'd be batted back to him, and then he'd bat it back to me, and bat it. Now he's having the last say with the mixes. Well, not actually, because then he asks me my opinions, and I give them to him, and he goes back. But at some point, we want to get this album done, so he's just going to have to ignore this fucking idiot Pedro and get it done. And,
we're nearly there, Mike. We're nearly there.
See, almost there. Some of them I'd had hardly anything to do with. I just put bass to songs that he actually played on the guitar and just sang.
So some of it's not like that. How many instruments are there, ultimately?
Oh, it depends on the song.
Yeah.
I think the most simple is guitar and bass, right? There's one with just two instruments and singing, with three things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sam, isn't there one? Tickle Fortune, isn't that? Oh, no, and there's a flute. So there's four things. That's the most simple one, right?
Yeah, we mixed that yesterday, actually, that one. Yeah.
It's only guitar, bass, flute and singing, right?
Yeah.
Actually, it was his demo. I thought it was so good that we would just lame it out by trying to redo it. Mm-hmm. Like, he showed it to me, hey, why don't we try this song? And I said, this is good enough. Let me put on some bass.
So you got a little sneak preview you can sample for us?
We did yesterday.
I
have them. I have some. Yeah, on here.
I'll send you the mix now.
You know what I got? You can flow me one?
The new mixes we did yesterday, if you want.
Okay, yeah, flow that and I'll play it on the show.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, God, we've been talking now for 23 minutes. We're in the third hour. And I haven't let you talk enough about this. I keep Bogarting. So I want you to talk about Sam. Because...
Oh, Mike, I don't know. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say too much. Just let the music speak for itself. I mean, we're mixing it.
I mean, you've been involved with a lot of music in your life, and how's this project different?
It's pretty different, actually. I did that project with Shige, DJ Scotch Egg.
I'm going to play something from that, Same Things.
Same Things, which is kind of similar, because it was all the jam sessions and then writing the songs after the event. But these are more... I guess I've worked on these a bit longer, actually, and...
Well, also, he can play other instruments and shit. He's not as limited as I am.
Well, I guess it was a different process. The two of us were kind of editing...
Like he can play everything, and I'm just a fucking bass and some spiel.
Yeah, he's a talented man. It's been really interesting. Every song's really different, and we're really noticing that when we mix it now, because all the sounds are different, and... Each one has to be approached differently for the mix as well, which is that's exciting, actually.
Yeah, it's not like how many we have? 13? It's not like 13 versions of the same song. It's like each one is its own world, which is pretty trippy.
It's going to be quite strange when we actually do finish it, because it's been, what, two... been doing this for
two and a half years. Right. So it's kind of he's kind of been through that with his other band, the band that he works for, and then this project he did with Shige.
Are they mostly instrumental?
Where he deals with samples, he deals with other people's sounds. I mean, I'm getting into this more now with the internet stuff and collaborating with people. But my experience is like you go practice some songs with some people, and then you bring them into the studio and you record them. It's just,
the whole thing is
good. Yeah, which I like, but I like this stuff too. This is kind of interesting, very interesting, and it puts your music in a different. I know a lot of this stuff that the way I'm represented on this album, it could have never happened in another way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's brought out stuff in me musically, even though it's kind of old hat for Brother Sam. Mm-hmm. For what? It's very different and very exciting, and I'm really. Honored and to be part of it. He's bringing out things in me that there's no other way it could have been.
Breaking new ground.
Kind of like that.
Oh, I'm excited about With No Beasting, Mike. That's really coming together now, that one.
No Beasting.
Yeah. It's coming together. Really coming together.
That was the one, again, he sent me a bass and a drum that he found that he liked from our jams. And I was riding, this was when I could ride to Royal Palms. My knee wasn't all fucked up. Look, I got no break. I'm wearing pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
My Reebok Kuma. I've never had nightwear before.
I was going to say, it's a pretty funky jacket.
I just came over to Brother Matt. It's like, fuck it. I ain't going to get dressed. I've been, you know, usually I conk naked, but since I got this in Japan, it's like, I'm wearing this shit from now on.
Is that taken over from the Jinbe now?
Jinbe don't conking. Jinbe's actual day wear, but it's nightwear. One thing that wakes me up easy is having to piss, but the other one is rolling out of the blankie. You know, I conk on the decks and fucking roll out of the blankie and get a little cold. With this shit, you can roll out of the blankie and you ain't cold. So it's a little different sensibility for conking. But anyway, back when I could pedal to Royal Palms, well, up that hill, he had just given me this thing, and I was there by the water, by the waves. And there was a drone on the rock. You know what a drone is?
B?
The boy B, yeah. They got big eyes, you can tell the boys. And they got no stinger. Because he called it bee sting. And so I was kind of contrary.
Like the workers, right?
The workers are women. Uh-huh. Unfertile women. The only fertile woman is the queen. And that's what they're for. They're for seeing the queen. Huh? And then when they're done, fertilized, they usually are kicked out of the hive and starved to death. But they got no stingers. So I kind of was contrary to his title and just said, no bee sting. And I wrote this thing about a male bee. What it must be like, maybe. Mm-hmm. Kind of. And so see how these came around, you know what I mean? Don't write about that.
Not a lot of songs about that.
No.
Being a male bee?
Yeah.
Drone? Drone? Well, anyway, that's what no bee sting's about. And I was thinking about Motown, heard it through the grapevine for the chorus. And just all these kind of things came to me because of the associations he made with our jams. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting record for me. It's not me purely looking at it as bass, guitar, bass parts I have to put to music. Not at all. It's more like, I don't know,
assembly.
Kind of flower arranger.
Yeah, assemblage. That's a good way to put it.
You know what I mean? I don't grow the flowers. I arrange them in the vase. Something like that.
Danny did some synthesizer for that, Mike. We've replaced the third, final verse, the guitars, with some... really, really interesting synth, actually, and it really helps.
After the drum solo, it takes on a different...
I cut the drum solo up to smithereens and sort of rearranged it. It's pretty whacked out now. I'm pretty happy with it.
Oh. Yeah, but I like the one you did live.
The synth, you know, on Danny's homemade synth, it sounds really, really beautiful, I think.
Oh, yeah, that big one. Shige ended up using that in the jam. Yeah, this thing's about the size of the fucking window.
Wow.
It's huge. It's like based on
his name Danny made. So you don't want to tell too much. You just wanted to give little particulars about where you're at right now.
Yeah.
And I guess I talked enough about it. my commanding vision.
Definitely
of the project.
Definitely piqued interest, though.
No, but a lot of it, I'm telling you, a lot of it's Brother Sam. I can't pick even a fucking third of the credit.
I'll send you over a couple of mixes, Mike. Tama
yeah.
Tobacco.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, okay.
Pickle Fortune,
Tommy
maybe.
Tobacco. Yeah, that one's a trip. Tommy Tobacco's one where I only was there in the jam. I'm not part of it in any other way. There's the little bass parts he found to fit into this whole tune. And you keep going here with your music. I'm going to play some Cat Beef Heart for us. They're going to play some same things in Coastie.
I'll
send
you over.
Those mixes. Love you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, love you. See you soon, man. Bye. Triangle!
tonight. What do all you women do when the men get trout or hot dog payday? What do you do on tropical hot dog day day? Step out of a triangle into striped light. Turn around and step back into striped light. Tropical hot dog night. I'm playing this song for all the young girls to come out to meet the monster tonight. Meet the monster tonight. Would you like to be the lucky girl, the lucky one, to be the monster tonight? Ow! To be the monster tonight.
And also to be the monster tonight.
Fisherman fishes for squid to support family. The squid fisherman thinks about relationship. Thinks about relationship with squid. The squid gives so much. Gives so much for the squid fisherman's family. Thinking about this much. Is it fair? What does a squid get from the squid fisherman?
poem is from the book Trashing of America. It's entitled 100 Flies in an Airplane Flying Around the World. Bend down, America, and kiss the concrete. Those strange years flew by too fast. Left the hitchhiker standing with a lover named Blank, breathing the fumes with only a flashback emotion. Everything wilted and dying. No friends dropping by. No tender love. Survival in its barest form in a world of sick electricity. Automatic duplication of reactions and conversations. We know everything. And even have the same conversations we've had before. Or perhaps the same conversations we have every time we see each other. I don't know, but I can't get off on nothing. Even my blues records are getting to be a bore. And I lost my felt-tip pen while answering what could have been my first fan letter, but I didn't know what to say. It took a long time to write because everything was piled too high. Unanswered want ads marked penny deep on my desk in piles while I sit on my piles and look out the window onto the Bowery where weekend suburbanites come to buy very decorative lamps. But this is a great dream realized. This is the way it is. And one thing you can never expect from a fellow American is consideration. So bend down, America, and kiss the asphalt. You voted for it. I wonder where they all come from. Have they crawled out of the 50s with new plastic and new hairdos? Hello, suckers. They've put one on you again. No one wants to think about it anymore. It's really very depressing. I just lie in bed and daydream and sometimes stare out the window, like in an institution. Bend down, America, and kiss the asphalt. A decade flashed upon the screen subliminally, like it didn't happen. The liberals were becoming very much loud, and the same situation still exists. In a lottery down another hall. Just lie and stare into space. Try not to think. Friends seem far away. The doors closed to the outside. Throw down the key. Get me off this fucking street. Trash, dog shit, and dying bums. Between the mafia and the government, there's no place left to live. Take me back to sick suburbia. Everything in its place, run like corporations by retired army officers. Everything in its place, but falling apart, closed down, unused, rotting. There's no need for anything unless it can be made into profit. Well, I remember future for a generation shot in the back and or front, dark bullseye creeping into the zero of lost future, which was yours and mine and comes in April with a robin song. The countless birds of spring with outlines exploding in the sun.
Gangkyuwa Nikko Hiram Mabutan Mabutan no yoromito ga hita to.
Watch from Pedro show. The only music for the third hour. The spiel with Brother Sam went on a little bit there. But happy to talk to him, even though I did most of the fucking yammering. First time he's been on the show via
Skypeage.
Yeah.
Very international.
Because
show.
I've done a couple of spiels with him in his native England. Right there with me. this one was, well, in fact, one was in Glastonbury. Yeah.
Oh, it was all raining
there.
Another
big festival.
All muddy. That's where I, after that gig is when I wore the djembe on the plane and all the dudes got pissed off. Because I was muddy. I mean, those kids came on the stage, well, a couple hundred, and they were just, they were muddy. It was fun. I should say the music we played. We played Tropical Hot Dog Night by Cap Beefheart. Actually played it for Laurie because you must have heard that before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So.
And I would say, yeah, that was probably the more commercial.
I wouldn't say it was Mersh totally, okay. But maybe not as angular as.
Yeah, you could dance to that. Some like regular kind of dance.
I could dance to that angular stuff.
I could dance to it too.
Well, Sturgeons can't. Then we heard the Squid Fisherman. Now this is an early mix from Same Things, a band Sam was talking about. He's got with DJ Scotch Egg, Shige. I saw Shige at our gig in England on the 4th, 2 weeks ago, 16 days ago. Yeah, he was there. This guy's an incredible musician. I don't know how long he's lived in England, but he's from Japan, and he was making music with the Game Boy.
Mm, wow.
Shit, you know, this beep, beep, beep. This guy can make music with anything. Incredible musician. And that's Shuko Araki on the... Well, Sam asked me, I think I did a spiel for one of these Same Thing songs when I was at his pad. Maybe during that jam for the first cuz. And he asked me to read, make up some shit for some ship thing. And I used a poem from Amigo's song. When he tripped out on it, he goes, yeah, wow, who writes that shit? Because she's a great poet. And so I told him, and she's a really incredible drummer too. But her poetry, one part of it is, I think, is because their language is fuzzy, and when they go over to English, it's almost poetry anyway, the way they write. And like her husband's emails to me are total poems, total. They're beautiful, amazing. So incredible. So he asked me, hey, why don't you write her a poem, but she'll read it. And so that's what you're hearing in The Squid Fisherman. Again, I think it's being displaced from the mother thing. Mm-hmm. And so you get a different take on it. Yeah, yeah, a trippy spin. And then we heard Renovo by Eklez. E-K-L-E-Z?
Sounds
you say Eklez? Because they're klezmer band, so
klez
in there. And great stuff.
Wow, my leash.
You know it's my leash because it's John Coltrane. It's my sister. Why? Thanks, Melinda. I'm doing a radio show right now. Oh. Thank you. She's the one who got me that leash. I don't get hardly any calls on it. I don't use this shit. My emergency, if I saw somebody flipped over, I'd call it hombre or something. Then we heard 100 Flies. She got tired of circling the airport. That's when she got picked me up after tour. 100 Flies in an Airplane Flying by Charlie Plymell.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie. Great cat. And Connexion. C-O-N-N-E-X-I-O-N. Did you say Connexion?
Yeah.
By Hige Chico and Kaoru Sato. And I think... that was recommended to me by Miss Pin. Ugh. We haven't had a Pin from Asia segment in a long time because she told me your advisor, whatever. You're trying to get a PhD, right? What do you call that guy?
Yeah, I think it's an
advisor or something. Because you got to write this big.
Right, you got to like kind of guide you through.
You got to write this. What's it called?
Thesis.
Yeah. To get a doctorate, and she says this guy's son of a bitch and doesn't have it all together and just piles of work on her, and so she's had no time. She's very sorry, but she recommended me this.
Cool.
I like this.
Just thinking of her.
Yeah.
And she also makes part of the noise. She's got some group with somebody. God, what are they called? I can't remember their name, but she actually she asked me advice on if she wants to get a bass. Because I guess she does some guitar and she wants to expand in the bass and stuff. And, I told her she should talk with his advisor and say, look, she's helping educate a bunch of ignorant people about the Asia
rock. Yeah, she's an international
communication. Right, she's helping out, so it's this is part of her programming. Cut her some fucking slack, guy. Anyway, when she's ready, we'll get another segment. Brother Matt, you're on vacation now.
Yeah, thank God.
And it started right with this...
Right through a storm.
Right with the storming. So, what do you got planned?
Kind of staycation looking.
It's a staycation?
Deal. Yeah, but that's all right. Been kicking butt.
No out-of-townage?
No foreign adventurage? I'm not against it, but I don't have any big plans
There's
right now.
There's nothing on the plate.
Yeah, yeah. If I don't do anything, I'll just go bigger next time.
Right, no Alaska glacier.
No, not this time. It's too cold in the summer.
I can imagine now. They're going to be putting in new windows, though, so that'll be adventure.
Yeah, just come off the Burrito Day festivities, too, so.
That's right.
A big day.
You don't know about Burrito Day? Brother Matt got Mr. Bradley.
Remember
our mayor?
I read about it.
Yeah, we've been celebrating.
I liked it.
We've been celebrating for a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to celebrate today.
Cool.
Every day
is Burrito Day when you get down to it.
Yeah, but it was actually there's a date anointed to it by the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the proclamation.
Proclamation. That's
very
what it was
nice.
Proclaimed.
Yes.
And so you're still winding down from those festivities. And Laurie, you're going to be painting more than one?
Yes.
What are they? They're
a
based
lot.
On beans? They're based on eyes?
They're based on visions.
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 So in progress,
that
right?
end up, looking like eyes or beans from Venus. Yeah, I have a show at Track 16.
Sea urchin-like also.
Yeah. Yeah, and sort of mushroom, shroomy-like.
Like you're eating shrooms?
God's eyes, you know? Spirits. They have magic in them. They really do. But I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Get it discovered.
You'll get it. You'll get it one of these days. Yeah.
You mean the painting or the act of painting?
Get the act of painting or get the painting?
Where's the magic?
Both. Did I answer that right? No, it's both. I mean, doing it's like magic. It's like creating magic. And then what you end up with is magic, too. I mean, it sounds sort of silly to say that it's magical, but it is.
So is there like some airbrushing in some of that?
Yeah, that's mostly airbrush. There's some handwork in there. And this is the smallest I've worked in a really long time. I don't usually generally work this small because for me it's a lot more freeing if I work on a much bigger scale. My work tends to be fairly physical, and so the bigger sheet of paper or whatever I have to work on, the better for me. And it's very rhythmic, and I paint to a lot of different types of music. I have a question for you, which is not about what we were talking about. But just for the sake of it, what's the most memorable and fondest memory you have of a birthday, of your birthday? Can you think of one?
Well, I got to play one of them in Tokyo. First time Nels got to play there. I took him. I think the 51st one. That was pretty wild. Yeah, maybe that was my most notable. I remember the 50th one was in Long Beach, and that was pretty neat. Devin Hoff playing a bass solo for me on a string bass with me standing right next to him.
Nice.
That was beautiful of him. And then us doing a banging gig.
So the older you got, the better it got.
Well, those were like two big deals. Those are like gigs.
Mm-hmm.
They were... It would have been big even if it wasn't my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know. But I remember them for that. Yeah, when I was young, well, I was telling Brother Matt, I used to hide them. I didn't tell people about them in the 20s and 30s. As a kid, yeah, I don't remember them so well. I know I always get Levi's from my mom and sister. So, but I come home now, she's going to cook me a chow for dinner, so I bet you there's a couple pair of Levi's to go with the other 45 or 46 on. But good luck with, get back to the other subject.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Good luck with the painting and, thank you. And, you know, making people like that guy all upset. I'm in. And I hope you get on with the murals. But the gallery's neat, too, in a record cover or T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just I share the same thing where you just want to get it out.
Yeah. I actually would like to show other places. I think I might have a show in Tokyo, actually, next year. I've been talking to a gallery there, so I'm happy about that.
Have you been there?
No, and I want to go. I mean, that's the thing
Brother
about
Matt,
going
too,
other
I
places.
I have to get him over there. Yeah. He wants to go see.
You should come for the opening, Brother Matt.
Cool.
Dirk Tit, too.
Pretty cool.
I have a lot of Pedro friends who want to go to visit Japan to hear about my trips, and I want them to see, too. Oh, eight of the gigs in the spring are going to be with Light.
Oh,
I want to take them to the south this time. So it'll be from Texas to Georgia.
Gotcha.
You know, they've done the Northeast, a little Midwest, and some West Coast, now some South. Because I want to show them our land.
Cool.
This has been a memorable... That's real good to hear.
Bonus.
Love it. This has been a very memorable birthday for me. Have we ever done one on my show, birthday? A show on my birthday?
I was wondering back. I can't recollect.
Were you naked the last time?
It's like 9 years. Was I naked? Last birthday? Or last show?
No, I was just thinking about what you're talking about, your pajamas.
My nightwear.
Yes, that you're wearing.
I got this from Japan.
That's nice.
Where'd I get it? Matsumoto.
Very nice.
Okay. And, I like...
They have little bears on them.
Three Rakuma, not any little bear.
Oh, okay.
And also Kiroi Tori and Gori Rakuma. Where's Gori Rakuma? Oh. Yeah, maybe she ain't on here. Well, she's always like mischievous and shit. Kiroi Tori's here. He's usually the one
those,
all pissed off.
Are those really old characters? How old are those?
I think he just turned 6 or 7.
Mm.
He has birthdays. Anyway,
nice.
Thanks for helping me have a good one here.
Cool,
on
happy
birthday. Happy
birthday.
And
happy birthday to Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Pete. I share it with somebody else, or we both share
Chris,
it with somebody
Chris
else.
Chris Greer's birthday today, too.
Okay, I share it with you. All right. Thanks for Brother Sam for coming all the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Via the Skype from England to talk about
cuts. International show.
Yeah,
right?
International
show.
Yeah,
I can't wait to hear that stuff.
And, 53, I'm looking forward to it. Getting a lot done. A lot out there for as far as my base and spiel. So thank you, everybody, for helping me with that. It's been the December 20th, 2010 Watt from Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.